Welcome to Convos and Cocktails. I'm your host, Lesego Tlhabi, and this is the platform where we speak, we laugh, we chat shit, we do whatever we want to do. And today's guest is my stepmother. This is such a big moment. The queen of broadcasting. I'm a little bit intimidated now because I forgot that you're on radio and then you brought it up. Anyway, hope I do a good job. We're just having a conversation about all things stepmothers. I feel like this relationship is often misrepresented. Although, I mean, look, there are stepmothers that leave a lot to be desired, so it's fine. But yeah, here we are to chat the truth, to go through the relationship, to go through the ups and downs, to hear the real. I don't think we've ever had a candid conversation like this.
About step-parenting about and our place in each other's yeah. lives. No, we've never.
So I'm very excited. Yeah. I hope you're open.
Of course.
What cocktail have you bought for us today?
Okay, so number one, cocktails. I know mojito, and someone told me there's something called cosmopolitan.
That's something called, oh my gosh, really is.
Okay, and I've had is a martini a cocktail?
It is.
I've had a martini. I remembered that I've had a martini, but I'm not a cocktail-y person, but mojitos I like. Mm-hmm. I like white wine, red wine, prosecco, champagne.
You like alcohol?
I'm your stepmother.
Basically, it's a lot of drinks.
You sound like your father.
I like
and
it too.
And we don't want
just,
that.
It's fine.
We don't want to
I like it too. I'm just like, you kept listing all of the alcohol.
Okay, fine.
What did you bring today?
It's a Prosecco, mm-hmm. right? A Prosecco, and it's got some, it looks pretty. Like
yeah,
it's
we had
evil
to make
drink
it.
Right? Yeah, no, it's. I love Prosecco. I could have it for breakfast.
Why do
I
you
could.
Love Prosecco so much?
You know what? It's not costly, okay. But it doesn't taste cheap.
Okay.
Yeah. You know it's cheap because you bought it. But I sometimes prefer it to some other champagnes. It's just so refreshing and smooth. And I don't get drunk from it. Well, at least I don't think so.
Cheers. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I'd
do
anything
for you, I think. No, not really. But if you're going to make me famous...
Girl. Anyway, so today is just about the answers and questions, or questions and answers rather. I've had my followers, my listeners send in some myths, some questions about our relationship, but also stepmoms in general. Mm. So yeah, I know you're not an expert on stepmothers.
Yeah,
we
I'm
just
not.
Happen to be a person who is a stepmom. I've been a stepmom.
You've been a stepmom.
I mean, not by marriage, but you know, I've been
a stepmom. Oh, I didn't know this. No, okay,
do.
I think you should be the guest. No, I know,
you
I know. No, I do.
I'm also currently, it's a long story.
What?
You know what, really, we'll catch up.
You're revealing secrets.
We'll catch up
after Convos
this.
And cocktails was a good idea.
Clearly. Okay, so first question. What was your first impression of Vince and I when you met us?
Your father talked about you so much mm-hmm. that I don't even think that the first impression moment was a moment
yeah.
because I had heard so much about you. But also the moment that I met you was not actually the moment,
yeah.
you know, because your dad kept me away from you for longer than he should have.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why, you know, bringing people into your children's lives too early, blah, 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 blah. But I was frustrated because I was confident that he and I were it.
Yeah.
I knew. He didn't then, but
cute.
I knew. So for me, as the months dragged on, it was so annoying. But the moment for me... I was very thrilled because it happened in spite of himself. So he thought he could control the environment. We bumped into each other and we just started dating. We'd been 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 months. So you guys had just come back from Brazil. I'm good with dates. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was 2006, December. And he'd spoken to me about you choosing your subjects, you know, the subjects you take mm-hmm. later on in high school. And Fense was had just become a teenager. I think there were just so many conversations around you guys and your life's choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to meet these two girls that kept him so young and engaged and so optimistic that may... You know, you guys contributed to him being a nice person for me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but he was keeping us away from each other. And then I walked into CNA in Sandton and you guys were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And what your dad didn't realize was that I know body language. I can look at someone and read the room.
Mm-hmm.
The way you guys were acting, especially you, I knew that you knew something,
yeah.
You know, and the way he was acting was confirming that something was going on between.
This is my friend. Why are you chilling with your friend, your female friend, in the middle of Santon, Dad, please?
Yeah, no, he was a bit too awkward. And he's still like that. Brian doesn't know how to act, right? And you were too giggly. Not giggly, but you were like, no, you were not giggly at all. You had a twinkle in your eye. You had a aha thing going on. Mm. Fence, it wasn't that obvious, but I saw you kind of, you know. So I think that moment I was very happy because it told me that you guys know that your dad is in the game. and perhaps,
game.
Yeah. And perhaps when we meet again, it will be even smoother. Mm-hmm. And I remember one other thing that your subject choices in particular, because we'd spoken a lot about that, and you kind of ventured into that conversation at the door at Woolies, at CNA, and okay. we chatted about that. And then, I don't know if you remember, but we then saw Auntie Louisa, whose book you just moderated, mm-hmm. and your late friend, Ricky, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry about that profound loss, and his brother. They walked. But so it kind
of. I don't even remember any of this.
I remember. It was a moment for me. It kind of created the necessary, I've just met Brian's children, even though I haven't been introduced as his girlfriend. And we had a chat then with Louisa and the boys. And it was special. It always feels, even if he didn't create that moment, but it feels like, or it felt like I accessed a part of his life that was very important. Mm. And at that point, you're still trying to get to know somebody. Even the first fight is revelatory. How they deal with conflict with other people is revelatory. Yeah. Work pressures. So that moment of meeting children for me was, oh, yeah.
Okay. See, the thing is with the aha moment is because there were signs. With Daddy, we also said to him many times, like, by the way, we're ready. Kept hinting, like, when you're ready, we're ready. We already know. And then I think in Brazil, there was a book, I think it was like Capitalist Nigga or Rich Dad put it, like one of those books where you had written like a enjoy the book, love Reedy. And I said, not love Reedy. First of all, not love. Second of all, this is a name. I know his friends' names. This is not a name I'm familiar with. And then third of all, my friend Atlahang actually messaged me and she was like, like a month before that. And then was like, I saw your dad with a lady. And I think Ipileng also said the same thing.
Oh, my
like
word, your times. Friends. I want to find them.
But they saw little my bitches. Dad with some lady. And I was like, okay, so dad's got a lady. Then the book. Then I think even when I asked him, I was like, Daddy, who's Reedy? He was like,
yeah, exactly. He's so bad at that, though, right?
Like, he doesn't want to say who's cool. Reedy. He just, and I was like, okay. Cool. Thank you so much, Fence.
Maybe that's why he sent me a text that he misses me on that trip. You were harassing him.
Not even. We asked him once and I could see he was just so weird about it. And I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, Brian, we're ready when you're ready. Fence, this is the person.
This is the person.
And then when we met you and you said, hi, my name is Reedy. And I was like, okay, that's not what I thought it was
stupid.
Pronounced. But Nazo.
And your dad still went, no, I don't think they know anything. I don't think they... Brian,
every day we were like parent trapping him. We're like, Dad, we're ready. We're ready.
And I think also people around us started talking, you know, because we've got same friends. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, I know some of the people that Brian knows. And our world was just colliding. We'd go to a wedding and somebody from your life, yeah. one auntie would be there who's also in your mother's mm-hmm. life. I thought, how long can he keep this up?
Very, you know? Short. Very short. He doesn't know. I mean, I guess he does, but it was a very quick between... We know, and then he just dragged it and dragged it. And we were like, Dad, today, call her now. I think we're at a restaurant and we're like, bring her now.
And then he went, I remember that conversation, hi, hello. And there are some people here who want to meet you.
Okay, I'm on my way. 10 and 10, I think.
Yeah.
No, we were tired of the yellow thing. So being a stepmom, a young stepmom, because I actually now realize your age at the time. I think like I was putting it into perspective that like even now I'm maybe 7-ish years older than you were when we met. I think you were like 27.
Yeah, so I met your dad the age I turned 27 and I met you guys the following year.
Yeah.
And I was married at 32.
Yeah.
So it was younger, yeah.
So just the fact that this is an overwhelming relationship to come into. There's like two teenage daughters. Was there ever a time, and be honest, where it wasn't great? Or exciting to have these two teenage children.
No, and I know that people are like, come on, but listen to this. There are several factors here. And funny enough, I was talking to someone in London recently about this because they asked, to what I attribute, what I regard as a healthy relationship mm-hmm. with you guys. There's a first thing, and the first thing is not even Brian. The first thing is your mom.
Okay.
Because I think when you're close to your mother, and your own mother is sure of who she is, and she's content with her life and her trajectory, I think that it plays a role. Mm. Your mother is nice. I mean, she had no reason not to be nice. I was nice to her. But I think that...
Oh, that doesn't even always play that way. I was very nice to a lot of ladies and...
Well, Angaz.
Not so nice.
Yeah, but I think in a particular way, you guys are very close to your mother. Mm. And my interpretation of that is that that's actually a good thing for my relationship with your dad. Mm-hmm. Because you guys had particular experiences where the level of independence that I think you and your sister have, the level of contentment and the friendship that I see between you and your mother, that I never had to be a mother. That's the first thing. But the second thing is you were older. I mean, late teens. Fencer had just turned 14, going on 15, I think, and you were in matric or something like that. I think there's a difference when you come into people's lives when they are children. Mm. And there's a beauty in that as well, because maybe I could have been a stepmother in the true sense of the word when I meet you younger. But I think when I met you, you guys already had certain cultures, certain routines, certain practices with your mom that created such an easygoing vibe with your dad. Because I think Brian was the fun, not fun, but your mom's loads of fun. But I think Brian is the... was not the regular everyday parent that you were with, let's be honest. You were with Penny and you were at boarding school, you were with your friends. So when you were with him, it felt like it was an occasion.
Yeah.
So we were never in each other's spaces for so long that I think personality clashes would arise. Mm. We've gone on one or two or three holidays together, but even then you were kind of late teen, gossiping, enjoying each other's space and stuff. So I think the environment in your own regular home with your mom and the fullness of your life and your dad then just created a culture that I walked in that felt drama-free for me. That felt drama-free. That's what it felt like. And last, so that's the second thing. The third thing is that you guys were genuinely nice to me. You were very nice to me. And I think that you were happy for your dad and that influenced how you treated me.
Yeah.
And I hope also, because it wasn't performative. I mean, I love my man. I love my man. I really like stupidly love him. But I like that it matters to you that I love him because if I loved him and you didn't want me around, if I loved him and that love wasn't important and you didn't see how important it was to the two of us, it would hurt very deeply because I know what it would mean for him if we weren't good with each other.
Yeah.
So your mom, yes, your dad being so into you guys, but you guys being so, you are such, the world is big and you're tapping into every aspect of it. You're not needy children.
I'm a needy girlfriend though, but that's another story. No, I think
claim it, own it.
Good. When we met you is, yes, how happy we were for Brian, because it just felt like, why is he not introducing us to someone at this point? It's been like maybe 2 years or whatever it had been.
A year and a half,
But also because Penny, like you said, she was very much like, when you meet anybody, you're going to be nice. And I think she also mentioned in the episode that I did with her about how she just was, we were so easy. And she, like, credit to them, I guess, or to us. But I think also you were. I think there are stories that I've read in some of the submissions of questions where there's this evil stepmom trope, and I don't really know what that looks like or what they mean, but I never got a sense of that. Like, for you, it was very obvious that you love our dad. Sometimes you'd be inappropriate about your love for our dad.
Oh, you and inappropriate, please. You don't know how to spell the word.
Not with my dad. But it was just very clear that this is what you were here for. This is the person you were here for. I think the only thing that was difficult for me on my side was more on Brian's side. Was just, I felt like sometimes I needed to have an individual relationship. And it was always like, the gang. And I was like, okay, I need you to know who I am. And outside of even Fence, outside of really, outside of, so that was something I think I personally struggled with, but it wasn't your issue. It was
funny. I'm thinking that even before you said it, I'm thinking that there is something that I think I regret that we didn't create. And I wonder whether it depended more on the woman. I don't know. I haven't cleared it in my head. Mm-hmm. But I do wish when I watch some families with step-parents, they've got rituals even in the second family. And I'll use second family in inverted commas. They've got rituals. I don't think that we've done that enough. Mm-hmm. Number one, I think that a lot of our get-togethers are so spontaneous, like, oh, who's available? Let's have brunch. It's all fun and centered around all our availability.
Yeah.
But I feel very strongly that we should have, when we still had the time. And I think now you guys are older, you've got lives. I think the opportunity to create routines around every first Sunday, they come here for lunch. Every second. I mean, there's a lot of interaction, but it's random.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that when children, again, even adult children, when you've created certain traditions and practices, children always come back home. Mm. I know you'll always come back to your father. That's not what this is. This is something totally different. Mm. It is about practice. The same way we make your baby sister do maths for 15 minutes every second day or whatever. The same way Kumo is learning the clock and as practice, the same way I run or your mother runs, you practice things and you return to them. So I don't think that we did that enough. The really scheduled family time in the second family. But the second thing is that your dad, I mean, just now, I'm outing him. He says, we're having brunch with Fenze. Do I need to tell people which one is it? So there's Lesego, there's Fenze, there's Neo, and there's Kumo. So Fenze, the 31-year-old. So I say to Brian, oh, no, you guys have fun. You'll be back in time for supper. We invited for supper somewhere. I said, we'll be back in time. And I did. I said, you guys have fun. And he went, what do you mean, us guys? We all going. So he does that a lot. I hope you know that. He does a lot.
I do.
And I say,
I remember even one time there was a dinner where you were like, no, I'm not coming. Yeah. I am available, but I'm not coming because I think it's important that you and Brian. I was like, okay, thank you.
And I have been saying this to him, and I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, why umbua kambiko podcast? But there were also times where I'd say to him that, why don't you on a, says, no, the girls are busy. I said, you know, they're going to be gone soon. And I mean, you hadn't even turned 30 when I said this. So they're going to be gone soon. They're going to take over the world and you're going to miss. Why don't you guys have a ritual where fortnightly, you go out, just the two of you. Mm. And at that point, if I recall, you were both in Johannesburg because you and Fenze are not always in the same city.
No.
And you're not now, and it's going to get worse. Mm. And I remember him coming home from the world of golf, and that's what sparked it. He'd come home from the world of golf on a Thursday evening, and I said, you know what, I'm very happy for your golf thing because it gives me time to write as well without his long chats and his pontifications. And I said, why don't you dedicate one Thursday to a dinner with the girls midweek? Because weekend, the baby showers, bridal shower. Mm. You say they are busy, you are busy. But this time that you've created for the golf, why don't you guys meet 6:30, have dinner quickly and just catch up with each other? Yeah, it's a good idea. But nobody implemented. And Elin, I've got a life, please. I can't be chasing Brian and his children.
We never had like the idea that you could do like a 30-minute catch up. Because like when you live with someone like we do with Penny, it's very... you catch up all the time, honestly. Mm. But I think with us, because you said like it's an occasion when we get together, it was like the lunch must be 4 hours long. Even if I'm like, Dad, actually I've got a thing.
Yeah, you stay. He's you always like, overstay.
What do you mean? Like Sunday, you book out the whole, I'm like, woo, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
and you guys look so good together. Yeah, I guess you and your photos with your dad. You should do, look, nothing is ever lost. There are ways of creating new rituals, but I do wish that in the early years, I, not your father, wouldn't have insisted, but I had insisted on having once a month even lunches and stuff. I think it, even before your baby sisters came, this was long before they came. So it wasn't even about them. It was just about you guys knowing that there's home and there's a particular practice and culture here every 4 weeks or every 5 weeks. And that didn't happen.
You know, no time for regrets. We'll create them, like you said. So I want to speak a little bit about the baby sisters, just because there's a few questions I have on that. First of all, before we continue, are you good with your drink? Do you want a refill?
I would love a refill, thank you.
Let's get a refill. Oh, I thought my voice was more warm.
Oh, you've got a beautiful voice.
Not in that case. Remember, it all continues over on the socials at @Lesego_Tabby. Now let's get back into convos and cocktails. So speaking of the sisters. Just before and after, was there a difference in how you perceived us or our relationship with our dad from before you had kids to after?
Yeah. So when the kids came, I worried that they get to be in the home with Brian mm-hmm. every single day. But he quickly responded that, but you got to be with him. So I'd forgot because I wasn't a part.
Imagine being upset at like 25.
Yeah, I know. So because I wasn't part of your childhood.
Yeah.
And I remember I hadn't gone through your baby pictures mm-hmm. when I had this conversation with him. In fact, I was, I was still breastfeeding Neo. And Brian said, well, no, it's not a thing. And I don't think it's a thing for the girls. Mm-hmm. And he thought that the age gap helps creates, you're not 2 years apart where chances of you arguing with Neo over access to data. I mean, really, that's so silly. She's like, she could be your baby, actually.
She really could. Yeah. I took her to school on many occasions where people are like, are you the mom? I was
no. So I remember going, asking Brian where your baby photos are. And I had seen them in preparation, if I recall, for your 21st. There'd been some baby photos of you that I'd seen in 2009 when you were turning 21. But I had not seen pictures of you as a family. And then I saw them, pictures of Finze as a flower girl at, I think it was Pulile's wedding. And then I saw pictures of you with Tandiwe at Disney and stuff. Tandia. Yeah, I saw lots of pictures of you having a life and your dad being there that it made me okay, they've had him. I'm sorry it didn't work out.
I think the only thing that was a bit different to was how, because he was older and able to control his career more, he could be at the concerts, at the there.
He was more present.
So as much as he was in the house, I think that was just like, oh, it's actually so, but more in a nice way. Like, come on, now I get to experience Brian more relaxed, more settled in his career, more able to take days off, time off. You know what I mean? Like rituals like that part we never got.
Yeah.
But fully understanding why, because even from Penny, if she had to have kids now, it'd be a completely different experience. I think you being the age that you were when you had them mattered so much than if you had them like 10 years before.
Yes. You're absolutely. I mean, I sure you've just started now at a different topic. I don't want to preach to people, but if you can delay the babies, I don't care what a good job you have, but good job, good career, good space, commanding space. And I know we can't all be commanding in our careers, but a level of command where you if you have the ability to delay until, it's not about the money only. Yeah. It's about the freedom. The freedom to say, no, I don't want to do this. Mm. I don't want to do that. I'm not working. I'm not doing this PR thing. I'm not. The gift that has been. Mm. And having a child at 35 and 38, and I know, especially in my running crew, I mean, the white girls I run with were having babies at 42, 43. And like, no, I'm working from home long before COVID. Or no, I've just quit. I'm just resting for a year or two. That thing is so important. I've not missed any school event. Even in London, when I was so busy, I've not missed moments in the children's lives. And I think that comes not from being financially secured, but from just the autonomy of making decisions that work for me at that particular time. But just going back to your sisters, you know, they were always awkward around you in the early days. Mm-hmm. But I realized that they were not just awkward around you; they were awkward around everybody.
Yeah.
So for me, I did wish that they had the way they were so papery at home with us. I wish that it would be like that with you. Mm-hmm. But I realized you didn't live with us. So to force them to be papery because they knew you were their sisters. Yeah. They understand
that. And I think they also had a weird, like, but how are they adults?
Yeah.
Our sisters.
Yeah, I mean, Neo would say that. So daddy was married to Lesego's mom before and they divorced. Yep. But divorce is not a good thing. Like, well, it is for me. I got
That's funny.
No, but they get it. They get, and I think watching, having iPads and being on, they understand human relations. But in the early days, and I remember watching them, I thought actually they were less like that with my mom. But now I understand. It's a granny, and granny comes to visit them every week.
Yeah.
And granny sleeps over. That breaks the ice in relationships. So you guys are coming, you're visiting. So they're treating you the same way they treat my friends.
Yeah.
Where a friend says, hi, Neo says, hi, you know. But now, and then the funny thing, after you leave, I miss Sicho. I mean, I'm like, she was here just now. When you're not there, they talk about you all the time.
Yeah.
And they so that comforted me that they get it. Mm. Even when they were small, they get that you guys are not, because I was desperate to say to them, no, these are not the aunties that are in my life that are coming to visit you. These yeah. are your sisters.
Yeah.
But they got it. They didn't need me to manage it, because the way they speak about you
mm.
and the way they spoke about you even then, the way they would ask, but when is Fense coming to visit? Like with a sad, you know, are we not going to see Fense? When are we going to? All the time.
And Fense is definitely their favorite sister. I will say
no,
that.
No, I don't think so.
They love her. Because she's like, I think she's more their age in their head.
No,
I don't know.
No. Yeah, in fact, they did ask me who's older between you and Fense. Don't tell her, please. That was a long time ago. Please don't make an issue out of it. It was a long time ago.
No, I won't. Yeah. It's happened with me and Khumutso a lot when we go out. And it's also like people who are adults, not just like. But anyway, so yeah, the main thing was, how did you relate to motherhood or having children before and after having your own?
Yeah.
Or just understanding the dynamic with us and Brian, maybe.
Yeah. You know what? That age gap thing will always be a factor. Mm-hmm. You know, it will always be a factor, because you're not their sisters in that way. And you also made it clear that you don't want to change nappies and things like that. So there was never...
Sorry.
there was never that kind of thing. But I think for me, and Brian and I talk about this a lot, that, you know, we know that if anything happened, I don't like thinking like that, but it's reality. If anything happened, you guys will step up. You know, you guys are very loving. You're very generous, the two of you, you and Fense. And for me, not thinking as a part of the couple, just thinking of me and the children I gave birth to, I wish I had people like you in my life when I was their age. So I think they... quite lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But after having Newo and Khumo, I really understood why Brian was so deeply appreciative of being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understood what it was that he loved so much about having two little people that are yours.
Mm-hmm.
But even as happy as I was that our family had grown, that I have my own children now, I did wish, again, the same ritual things. I did wish that we did more things together. But the age gap, I mean, what are you going to do with Khumo?
I was very close with Newo. I was there every day. Like her and
I know,
I
you've
were
got pictures of her
thick as thieves
sleeping on your chest. And she loves them, by the way. But then... The flip side of that is that we're not allowed to celebrate those pictures because Khumo gets in a state.
So Khumo was born when I was employed again.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You were busy.
I was working now.
Yeah. But we do have pictures of you, and I show it. I'm very careful.
Mm-hmm.
If I show a picture of Sicho and Fense with Newo, I must find one with Khumo. But there's a picture of you and Fense in Paris with
mm-hmm.
Newo.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It makes Khumo ballistic.
She knows she wasn't.
Ballistic.
The thing is, I'm surprised she doesn't even think it's her. They look like twins at that point.
No, but for a long time, she'd insist it was her. In many of the pictures, she insists that that's her. But now she starts to see. So we just lie. I just say she was in my tummy. So in a way, she partook of the thing. But you do. You've got more pictures with Newo as a baby than you do with Khumo. I don't know how you're going to make it right.
I mean, I wasn't working at the time, and now you're going somewhere
well,
out over the rainbow.
Go tell her.
Okay, so being a stepmom, like I did ask what was difficult about me and Fense, and I suppose you said we were easy children, but what was difficult about being a stepmom in general? Like no matter who the kids are, there are moments where just being a stepmom or dating a man with kids is quite difficult.
You know, first, okay, for me, I knew I was going to marry a man with kids.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't think maybe I've dated somebody without kids once in my life, because I'd always had relationships with much older mm-hmm. people, and we're not going to talk about my husband's age here.
He doesn't have an age.
Nobody's business.
He doesn't have an age.
And he looks good. Anyway, so I think somehow, without intending to, I'd prepared myself for those conversations, well, for those kind of relationships. And secondly,
But it's so much harder when it really happens, really.
No.
I've also prepared myself in some ways, but sometimes it's like, this is odd.
It's not. It isn't. I think what I find odd with our relationship or other people's responses. And it comes from the assumptions, the stereotypes. There's always an assumption that there's drama in history and stuff. So I, dealing with, not that I have to do it all the time, but I've been in situations where people just assume. Even the questions like, oh, you've got two stepdaughters. How's that going? It's going well, actually. It's just going fine. So there are always perceptions that the relationship is a bit too... you know, it comes with conflict, and I don't think that it does. But the other thing, it's less about me, but more about you and your dad. There are times when I feel as if, not so much now, but there were occasions where I feel like you're dancing around whatever it is you want to say to each other.
1,000%.
Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that irritates me so much.
same, okay, because I'm not that person a lot of my other relationships.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I think we were just really sensitive about his sensitivity, or like overthought his sensitivity because we didn't live with him. You know, when you live with someone every day, Fence and I can say what we want to say. I can say it to Penny because there's that assumption or knowledge that like they'll be able to handle it, they'll be able to bounce back. We live with each other, we have to get over it. I think it was just an assumption that he was more sensitive as a person, but also that our relationship would be harder to recover.
To have a conflict. But here's, and I suspect I've said this to you. I don't know why. I think there's an occasion where I said this to you. That is, you're probably doing what everyone else does around him. Brian is tougher than what most people think.
Now we know. Well, now
he's
know.
he's just very gentle, right? And he doesn't make a noise. And he's so easygoing that there is a perception of him as a softie. He's not. He can fight. Yeah. Brian can fight.
I don't want to fight him.
Yeah, though. Well, but I think just to make the point that not fight as in there's blood on the floor, but you could say the things you want to say. You could challenge him if you want to challenge him. And he can challenge you too. And he will.
Yeah.
But I think that when I look at how people respond to him, that he's this gentle, soft, sweet. Nobody wants to hurt him. Nobody wants to upset Brian because he's such a softie. He's a human being.
Yeah.
He's got...
I think the other thing that also is because if you're spending like, let's say 4 hours every month or something like that at the lunches and the... It doesn't feel like this is what I want to use those hours for.
Yes, good. And that's
whereas
good.
When you live with someone, it's like, this is 4 hours of 7
days. Yeah.
So I think that was another main thing is that we knew how limited the time was. And it was so like, I'm not going to use it.
Don't
to like,
wait. But I think for me, it's not
although
too
extreme.
Although
we didn't know how quick that stuff would be if we actually just spoke about it, I guess.
So for me, it's not two extremes of getting into full-blown conflict or saying nothing. There's a middle ground. And the middle ground is just addressing something that's making you unhappy. Yeah. Just saying, you know, Daddy, I want to spend more time with you. Mm. Or I don't want this person...
Not this person.
Or your wife to be around. No, I know that's all I mean. I know. But I'm just saying that, and it's whatever unspoken conflicts you guys have had, you could have handled them. Mm. And there doesn't have to be blood on the floor. It doesn't have to be noisy. But I don't think that it's healthy in relationships to defer our own resolution. We have to consider other people. I mean, I'm not one. I hate it when people go, that's who I am. Deal with it. Yeah. You can't do things. I don't believe in things like that. But at the same time, don't defer your own peace because you think someone can handle it. If they can't handle it, they must learn to handle it because he's your father. Mm. He's your dad. And I do think that being, I won't say caught in the middle because I don't think you guys were doing that. But just knowing that he's got this thing that he wants to say and you've got this thing that you want to say and you're both not saying it or you're all three not saying it and I'm sitting there and you're irritating me, all three of you, because you're not saying what you're not doing the I'm upset about or I want this or I think you should do more of this or that or this. Because he's actually quite a good listener. He's very receptive to those kind of things. And I that's certainly my experience. And I don't think he's necessarily more so with me because he loves me as his wife. He's more so because I also demand it.
Yeah.
I ask for it and I name it and I say when it is not looking like the thing that I described.
Yeah.
You know, and I find the more I do that, the more he does that because he very quickly also defines what he wants, what he's not getting and what he won't tolerate, that kind of thing. So, you know, two stepdaughters and their father. And they're talking around.
I think another last point. Fence moved out and I moved out. Well, separated the house when I was like 15 and Finzi was like 12. So I think learning him as an adult was also a new thing, because it was like that once in a blue, like once in a while hangout kind of thing. Whereas, and then I was in boarding school and Finzi then went to boarding school and then it was UCT. And then, but because we didn't live together from when I was like 15, it was very tough to just have him also know us as like ongoing adults and then teach him the new way that we are,
yeah,
the new things that we need. It was really quite hard to navigate that thing.
Yeah. And also you not talking boyfriends with him.
Exactly. I mean, because, the other day I was actually talking about my podcast and then I was like, oh, well, you know, one of the first episodes I spoke about was sex. He said that. Thank you. Meanwhile, with Penny, she's like very aware. Like she's taken me to a sex shop. She knows the conversations.
Penny took you to a sex shop?
She did. Like we've gone together twice. He's gonna know now. But he was very like, cool.
But you see, I laugh at him every time that happens. I laugh at him because I know you know stuff, yeah, and he knows stuff.
34.
And he's being so ridiculous. No, but there was one incident that really traumatized him. I've got to tell your listeners.
I would love to.
We'd gone to Plett. And I think you must have been 19 or 20. It was the year before you started at UCT, because I remember you were kind of conflicted. You didn't know whether you wanted to go to the advertising school.
Oh, okay. Then I was 18.
Yeah, 18. So, yeah. So, 2007? It was 2007. We go to Plett. And there was something in the news of some celebrity who was caught doing it in the toilet.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you said, you said in the toilet. I mean, at least if they were caught in the dining room wing, and Brian was like hyperventilating. But when I looked at your face, you were not even being naughty or shocked. You were just saying matter-of-factly at a toilet. But I think it is that, the way you were so casual about two people having sex, because people have sex.
Yeah.
But then when we left the restaurant, I think you and Finzi went for a walk. No, we went for a run, Brian and I. And then on our way back, we were walking. Says, what do you think of that? Of what? Lesego saying, it would have been better if these people... I think what Brian was trying to say is that it would have been better if these two people were not having sex at all.
Not a religious cult that like suddenly would have been...
I enjoyed those. I laughed. And I used to just add on, you know? Yeah. Say, no, but she's got a point. I mean, the toilet. Like, no, that's not what I mean. But
that's also like, even now, I thought he would be, because I'm 34. And he follows me on Instagram. So I was like, do you just shut down on Mondays then? Or like... just completely not look at my content.
No, he shuts down.
I was very much thinking that he just knew. So I was like, no. So the first episode, we had a sex coach. He just said, okay. I was like, oh, Brian.
Yeah. Okay. No, he does want to hear it. And also, even when you do, when you, I'm very careful. Like when I was following you on Twitter, you're not on Twitter much.
No, never, yeah. Not at all.
So if you're engaging in those kind of conversations, I would just laugh by myself and he'd say, what? Is it nothing?
There was one time he was like, okay. Okay. I was like,
yeah. Okay. So he can't, he to him, you guys are not those kind
we're
of
beings. We're still kids-ish.
You're still kids, and that conversation is inappropriate.
See, that's why it's also difficult to then have some of the other conversations, because they're also not explicit, but they require adults, and yeah, I need him to know that about us. Yeah. And then I think sometimes I'm like, I know that he still sees me a little bit, sometimes a bit younger than I am. So it's tough to have.
He finds adult. A lot of, as easygoing as he is, I think a whole lot of topics are awkward for him. Mm. Or maybe not the topics, but with whom is he having that particular definitely conversation? Yeah. So he does want to hear it. Whatever it is you want to share about sex toys and
I don't want to share books with him. I just wanted him to know that that's what my... This is my podcast. If you want to listen to it, some episodes will have this thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, rather than let's leave it, I'll give the podcast link to Rudy. She can decide which episode.
No, he must listen. He learn that other thing. He must close his ears when it gets to the sex part.
The whole episode, one of them is
and I know what he's going to say to me now. Says, I mean, how could you say that? But whatever, to summarize this, whatever, if you and Finzi have boyfriends or girlfriends, in Brian's world, it's just a friendship.
I did tell him about this current one. So he does... Yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's refill before we move on to the next set of questions. Remember, it all continues over on the socials at Lesego_Tlhabi. Now let's get back into convos and cocktails. So one of the questions is, did the kids, as in me and Finzi, ever act out at a certain point? I mean, you did meet us in our teens. I'm sure there was like chaos. I don't know.
Funny enough, you acted out against your dad and your mom when she was getting on your nerves. if to me, you maybe you took it somewhere else, but you didn't bring it to me. You didn't bring it to me. I did think that you guys had, there were times when you, especially you, mm-hmm. less fancy you, very preoccupied with other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's still a thing for your dad when we go out for lunch.
Yeah.
Maybe you girls are on your phones a lot. It annoys us. But the way I look at it, and I said this to him, with your baby sisters, mm-hmm. there is that they're spending too much time on their iPads. Mm-hmm. And I remember a fellow stepmom also complaining about a teenage son who's always closing the door on their iPads and mm-hmm. whatever. And I remember what I said to them, which is what I thought at the time that you guys were busy with your phones, that pretend it's your children because mm-hmm. your children are going to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. So why does it have a different meaning when it's your stepchild? Mm-hmm. But I'm also mindful that if I were to call it out, it's very different to Penny calling you out. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't call you out yeah. for it.
Yeah.
I would probably say, and not because I'm too scared to come to you, I'm not, but because I understand that you guys were not in my life when you were babies. Mm-hmm. It's very different. I'm not your mom. And I know I've got other friends who are like mothers to their stepkids, and they can say, you know, I know one who'd say, you have to make up your bed.
Yeah.
You don't throw things on the floor. And it's quite okay because she came into their lives when she was five,
yeah.
this adult daughter. It wasn't the case with me. So it would irritate me, you guys being on your phone all the time, because I know it irritates your dad as well. It irritates your dad, but I knew not to say it. Mm-hmm. Because Penny saying it, your reaction to your mom saying it and to your stepmom, it's like, I win.
Probably would have been way.
But you know, it's better to be annoyed by your mom and your dad than a step parent.
I will put my phone. Yo, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, put it away. You know, it was so annoying. And like, we haven't, and then Brian would, I'd wait for Brian to complain mm-hmm. about it. Let's say, but Brian would call it out, would say, girls,
no.
But in the car, he'd mention it.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. I wouldn't mention it. He'd say it because I know him now. I know he'll raise it. He'll say, you know, the girls too much. And then I'll go, yeah, man. And we don't see them and all of that and all of that. So
things are still happening.
You need to come down. And when you'd overbook yourself, we'd be at Sunday lunch and you're giving us a lousy hour
it's
and a
half. It's also like just one Sunday I also have. Like the week we work.
Oh, so you're gonna
all
squeeze,
of us are working
oh,
in the
oh,
week.
Oh, you're going to squeeze your dad and your stepmom and 10 other people.
That's the time.
No, we don't.
You gotta keep.
No, we don't
keep up.
We don't appreciate. Oh, and another thing, you'd be late.
No. Wait, sorry, this is not gonna work.
Lesego, you'd be late, and then you give us 30 minutes, and then you've got to run.
I've never given you 30 minutes. I've never given you 30 minutes.
Yeah, but 1.5 hour lunches on a Sunday,
like you said even earlier. At least if you're going from like World of Golf, there's like let's just.
But you know how excited your dad would get on Sunday mornings as we're going out with the girls and then the girl wants to run. Huh? Oh, and another thing, when you did, this was so funny.
You know what? At the time also, I was in a relationship with a person with a child. And so sometimes I'd also only have Sunday.
Oh, stepmommy, fellow stepmom. Oh, but speaking of that, I find it very funny that there were times when you just needed your dad and without me there. And I get that. But there were times when your dad just wanted you. But when you were in that relationship, you'd always come with him.
Oh my God, not always.
It's so funny. It's funny because you know what it's like. And then your dad would be all excited. And you wouldn't warn him in advance.
But then it would be the group, I swear.
No, but you
me, daddy,
him.
And him.
Uh-uh, sweetie.
Wait you a wouldn't second. Warn now, him wait, you're saying it was me, Brian, and him, the three
no,
of us?
No.
Okay,
it's us.
Okay.
But we are expecting you and Fence for lunch.
Okay.
And then you rock up with your handsome boyfriend. But you don't tell
boyfriend.
Anyone in advance. You don't even send me a WhatsApp so that I can prepare your dad. Your dad hates surprises.
Look, I was inside something. I'm out of it now. It's fine.
Jeez, that's an unfortunate word. But No, but your dad used to get so irritated.
He lives somewhere else. Like, another person lives somewhere else now, so you won't have to.
You want to meet him?
Bothered. When are you going to come to Paris?
Is that why you're going to Paris?
No, that's not why I'm going to Paris, really. Oh, my God. I'm going for school.
Now you tell us you're going for school.
Can you imagine making a life choice like that over a man that
I would.
No.
No, no, not
I would if he was like a fiance.
No, 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 no. But here's the thing. You can make that choice together with the, you're going to do your master's. Mm. So that's your dream. It's got nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for a boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is that you're killing two birds with one stone.
Nah, the bird is too new to be have been considered in that decision.
I want to meet this person.
He came in after the decision was made.
Where did you meet him?
Yo, really, this is not for this platform.
Sorry. You're keeping secrets. I'm going to call you.
I'm not keeping secrets. I just don't want to talk about it on the platform. This is not the...
There is something... Sorry, maybe ask the next question because there's something I want to speak about.
Speak your truth.
Because, right, we're talking about you being on the phone and now... Because I think the question was around conflict when you were acting up or all of that.
It's also not us acting. I was just us being busy.
Sorry. Yeah, but there's something that just crossed my mind, if you don't mind. And we're being honest here. Mm-hmm. Your dad has not really spoken on his own terms about his illness. Mm-hmm. But it's not a secret that your dad had aggressive leukemia. And even now, I'm not sure how far I can go. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'll go far with that. But your dad was ill 4 years ago. And he's had a transplant, right? And I think that that's a story that he wants to tell in a particular way. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that, you being an artist and all of that. But at the time that your dad was seriously ill and in hospital, you know, when you are so caught up in a particular goal that you're not seeing anything else. So my primary focus was your dad getting out of that hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was my life's purpose. And I think I was living on adrenaline. I mean, I'd go for days without eating and only realize later. But I was so, for me, there was no other outcome but the one that we got. Mm-hmm. And so I just threw all my energy to it. I became an expert on leukemia and the language and all of that. And I followed the doctor's advice to the T because I wanted to give this the best possible outcome. So if I want a particular outcome, I must work towards it. So if they say he can't eat this, I must ensure he doesn't. He can't do this. He can't do this. He can't do this. At the time, I was so caught up in that I thought we were all on the same side. Everybody, and by all, I mean relative, friend, don't. So it was such a shock to me when Brian was well, and perhaps those murmurings were there, but I wasn't hearing them because I was focused on my husband and him being alive for all of us. And I actually had a disagreement with somebody who wanted to come and see me about her work project. Mm. And I said, excuse me, my husband is in ICU and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So only later when Brian was well, did I hear that there were a whole lot of people who were unhappy that I kept them away from Brian. Mm. You know, the shock. You know when you're not thinking something? Yeah. And I was so shocked because I thought I'd explained what his particular cancer was, the white cell count, what it means if he gets a flu. And I thought I'd explain that the doctor had even said to me, the only reason we are allowing you is because we can see emotionally he needs you. He only smiles when you walk in. Mm-hmm. And even the nurses would say, Mrs. Clabby, please ask doctor, you know, when he needs something, we find him struggling. He doesn't call us. There's a bell. He can call us. He only comes alive when you're here. And as soon as you leave...
Yeah.
So they made me believe that I was even there because they understood that emotionally he needs that too. Mm-hmm. And I had to be masked up and wear an apron and all of that. So after Brian, when these things happened, I was just stunned that, guys, did you not understand that he was this close and that your coming to see him was not allowed? Mm. And I wondered if all these people are saying this and they're not even his children.
Yeah.
And some are relatives, some are friends, and not even close friends. None of our close friends said that. And that's always the case. People close to you don't talk shit. It's people who are... But I did wonder. I thought, oh my goodness, maybe I didn't explain this properly. And if outside people are feeling like this, I wonder how you feel.
Are you asking now?
Yes. Oh. it had crossed my mind that, hold on, did they understand what was...
I think we did for a certain point. But then for me, the one thing was, okay, if it's only one person a day or a week, can that person not sometimes change? So I do think we were very aware that like a sneeze, a tickle, a dust, because that thing of also like sanitizing once, putting on the thing, sanitizing again. Like it was quite aggressive even when we could go.
Mm.
But I think there was one point where I was just like, if like one of the, if there's one person who can go for like the 3 weeks, if one of those times it could be like me, and then that would be cool. But like, no, fully understanding. I think it was just once where I was like,
we felt,
but wait, what can she take? One of the things and then give it to me.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
But not in a...
Not in a... no, okay. But it's, you do understand why I'm putting it. And there was also a factor that Brian never lost his agency. You know, your dad is actually far more stubborn than what people realize. I mean, you know
I also am glad though, sorry, just to go back, because when we did eventually go, it was extremely traumatic.
And so it was like, shocking, right?
And that was even like the 3 weeks later type of vibe. So if it was like...
At the time,
I don't think I would have been able to like handle it anyway. So I'm kind of like relieved that that's the process that needed to happen. And like God was clearly in the mix of like, girl, you don't need to see it right now. Let him get some recovery.
Some sort of normalcy.
But like, because even when we went, it wasn't good.
It wasn't. I saw that you were affected. And for me, it was because I was there in the beginning, right? I was very proud of the moment. And then I could see that, okay, perspectives. But here's another thing with Brian that I hope people who know him well know this. He's quite stubborn, I think. You know, I mean, when the first time you said your dad was stubborn, you were in your teens, like, daddy, you're so stubborn. I'm like, yes, girl, tell him. But Brian makes his decisions. Nobody can tell him what to do.
Yeah.
So when he didn't want to, there were times when he didn't want to see people. And I'm proud that I am strong enough to handle being the Rottweiler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's not going to send a WhatsApp to someone that I don't want to see. So he'll pass the phone on to me and like turn and sleep. And then I'm left. Load shedding.
I think so.
So what happens now? We carry on.
I don't actually know the answer to that question. I think
you've never had load shedding while doing the show?
No.
Jeez, I'm a bad vibe.
No, we actually have not. I think we can carry on.
Yeah, the cameras are on.
Cool.
So Brian would make decisions that I don't want to see this person. Or I don't want to talk to people. I just want to sleep. So there's that, those needs to fulfill of his. And I'm not going to compromise him, you know. But there was a lot, there's a lot that I learned about sick people. That they like silence sometimes, even from the caregiver. To just know, leave him alone. No, to just know, step aside. So that thing was important for me too. And I didn't know I would raise it here. I didn't plan this. You actually told me the focus of our conversation with 10 minutes to go. Didn't you send me a WhatsApp with 10 minutes to go?
It's fine. See,
yeah, it's fine.
The focus of the conversation was anything and everything.
Yeah. Actually. So I think the moment presented itself, it just crossed my mind that chapter of our lives. I'm like, actually, let me just go there. Yeah.
Okay, so how do you strike the balance between now being...
I'm chewing. I wasn't supposed to eat the
It's delicious. Between being stepmom and trying to not overstep.
Because you guys have strong personalities. I don't think you'd allow me to overstep. I don't think you'd allow me. The door is not open for that, even if I wanted to do it.
Is that not frustrating to you sometimes when you've... Have you ever wanted to be like... I mean, not hit because that's crazy, but just like... no, I don't know. Discipline in some way where it's like, okay, I won't because they won't allow that. But at the same time, Brian, how do I navigate naughtiness? Or
actually, I've just thought of something. It wasn't Plett. There was another holiday we went to. You brought a friend, a lovely girl called Tabang.
Okay.
I think we'd gone to Balito or something. So we go there.
I don't remember any of my life. Oh my
please,
gosh.
I'm telling
this is
you
news
now.
To me. This is crazy.
You must pay me. I need a cut from this podcast.
I must write my bio with you next to me.
So we'd gone to that place and we bought a lot of things when we got there. I don't know why that happened, like towels and things, dishes and things. We shopped for those things. And each girl had a nice fluffy towel. We bought a big towel for bathing, a big towel for the beach and all of that. And then when we were leaving, you guys just left the things there. And I'm looking at this situation and Tabang folded hers and put it and asked if I wanted it or not. And then I thought, and you guys were like, and I actually did
I think we might have to chill for the
Oh yeah, when electricity comes back, those things happen.
Okay, there we go.
So there was one incident. We were on a holiday. We bought towels and cutlery and crockery and all of that. Off we go. When we're checking out, you guys were just hoying them new things. They're only 5 days old and you're just leaving them there.
Holiday towels, where are they going?
Back to your house to be used another time.
Ooh, LOL. I don't remember any of this. You know, yeah, you could be gaslighting me right now. I wouldn't even know.
No, but you were a teenager. Yeah. You were a teenager. Context matters.
Yes.
Context matters.
I would fold today.
Yeah. No, it wasn't even about folding. It was about how now we're just going to throw them away.
Okay, I would pack them today.
Yeah, and give them away or something. You were like, ah, referees are here. Throw them.
Okay, so I have two last questions because we do have to wrap up. The one is, did the relationship grow organically closer or was it something that the father was like specific or particular about?
I don't think I would trust your father to create. I mean, he's kind of a laid back, doesn't like to control things and all of that. Mm-hmm. So no, I think for me, life occasioned so many chapters, your father's illness, loss of friends. You lost Ricardo. We've lost friends who were your uncles and your aunts, illnesses, you know, career not going well, being a public figure and being dragged for nonsense failure. So those kind of struggles, you can't engineer, I think, closeness. Mm-hmm. You can't work at it. I do think that life's chapters have created that kind of thing. And I particularly want to point out the fact that every Mother's Day, even before your dad and I were married, I got messages from you guys. Every Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And from your mom, believe it or not. I didn't have children of my own. Mm. I got a Mother's Day message from your mom and from you guys. So do you understand that I couldn't have imagined getting it? I couldn't even say, guys, send me a message. You can't engineer this kind of thing. It comes and it creates a moving moment for me. And then the second thing, I mean, I've had so many miscarriages. You guys knew about them and you'd come to the house. The people who can't find an hour on a Thursday to go out for a lunch or a supper with their dad, you'd come to the house in the evening just to commiserate because while when you lose a baby that way, you think it's your loss, not even, it sometimes even creates distance between husband and wife because you feel it in a particular way. Yeah. The man doesn't feel it. He didn't carry that baby. So when you guys come to our home, your home as well, and then it becomes, oh, it's our loss. Mm. It's not just me. So I think that life creates these moments of connection. And sometimes you get closer from them and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
I think in my relationship with you, I wouldn't say we're close, like we talk about everything, but there's an authenticity. Mm. If I was concerned for you about something I've read, I'm at that point where I'd pick up the phone and say, hey, what's going on here? I know that if I were to just get overwhelmed by life and you hear about it and you've done it, you'll reach out. So I do feel close to you, but I don't think that any one of us could have engineered it because then it's flimsy and it won't last.
I think for me, the moment where I can say it changed from like the lady that Brian's dating to like close and then obviously over time, close, close, close. But the point was when I was trying to go to UCT or London. It was one of the two. And Brian was just like not hearing me study theater or drama or media or any of the things. And you had, I mean, obviously Penny was like, I'm on board, but like both parents need to kind of be on board. And it just took a little longer for Brian. And obviously now he's on board, biggest cheerleader. Whoop, whoop. But it was you kind of being very specific and being like, I'm a journalist. I did a BA and look at what I've been able to do. And it really was that conversation with him that changed his mind about that. And that was the moment where I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't remember Brian wanting you to do.
No, girl. No.
Okay. Let's leave that. That's your life with him. Let's leave that.
Not that one. It was longer.
Yeah.
It was longer. Penny also wasn't on board number one. Mm. It just was quicker. Mm. And again, like I said, because I remember this moment where you were specifically like, but look what you can do with a BA or look, my career's amazing. And it's not just BCom or commerce.
Yeah, when I heard you were going for a BCom, I remember, you'd ask the question about where the moments where I held back. That was the moment because I was a girlfriend then. I was like, what the? BCom, that child.
No, not that girl. I know, I was very
wrong. No, that was not for you.
I was very wrong. Okay, so the last question. How important is it for you and, or for a stepmom and a mom to get along in the relationship with the stepdaughters or stepchildren?
Okay, I think what I have with your mom, and it's also a relationship that I've seen on one or two occasions with other people, is not something that people must strive for, in that you can fail. So waking up and wanting to be close to mom, or mom waking up wanting to be close to stepmom, what I'm trying to get at is that it's not something you must have as a goal. Mm-hmm. If it happens, it happens. But what you must have, I think, is just a recognition of someone's humanity. That's not friendship. That's just recognizing the humanity of the person walking past here. Mm-hmm. Respecting somebody. And knowing that their identity is so much bigger than them being your husband's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Or in their eyes, you're being the ex-husband's new wife. Mm-hmm. So I think there are basic things that can really make these relationships conflict-free. Respect each other's space. Ask. Mm-hmm. Don't assume the worst and second guess.
Yeah.
That's at the basic level. And I think that's good enough for a lot of families. Mm-hmm. But I think in our case, it became bigger than the basic level. Mm-hmm. And I think that was created by who she is, who I am. But also we've got mutual friends. Like there are people in our lives. I mean, right now we're going to an event and I think your mother is going to be there. We go to weddings, funerals and all of that. So I think for me, it's ask yourself if you are a stepmom or a mom, what's the alternative? Mm. What's the alternative to getting along?
Yeah.
If you like the alternative and you're bitching and moaning and acting like losers, go for it.
Not losers.
No, if that's what you want. So what's the alternative? Getting along and respecting each other. What's the alternative to that? That's the question that I would answer. But I do think that for me and your mom, it is different. It is unusual.
Yeah.
It is unusual because when your father got ill, the first person I told, the very first person, was not your dad's BFF. It was your mom. Mm. That's the person I phoned when I was in the hospital. But 3 days later, when the diagnosis came, the first person I told was your mom. Mm. And there was a particular reason for that. It was not because she's my best friend. It's because you were adults, but you are her children. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine a scenario where I'd be okay if somebody picked up the phone to tell my children that their father had a serious illness. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you don't know their emotional state. I don't know whether you're driving at that point. She knows how to break it down to you, and you and I can pick it up elsewhere. So I'm going about this circuitously, but I'm just saying that you can't look at my relationship with your mom and say, that's the model. No, we were lucky. We're at a particular point in our lives. And we were okay. We got along and we genuinely liked each other. But for others that are not at that level, what's the alternative to getting along? What's the alternative to respecting someone? What's the alternative to just being decent to a person? And here's another thing that is so important, and it goes even to the step-parenting relationship. People are not in your life every day, 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
they're not. Exactly what you said about not wanting conflict with Brian because it's just an hour and a half. And there are times when I would go along with that okay, so you're going to see mom or stepmom, or they're going to be in each other's space for a family funeral. That's just one day. Bring your best actress if you have to. It's just one flipping day.
Yeah. No. Very, very true. Really?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for answering the questions that they had, the questions that I had, and for making time. Yo, this lady, your schedule. You said, okay, but then I'm going to London, and then, okay, so in between that, but then Italy, I'm in Italy, Washington. So thank you for finding time in between Terminal
A. So says a very busy person, guys. Don't listen
to
me.
No, I'm going to be busy.
I know. I'm going to be. And now you're leaving us. You're leaving us. How much lunch time are you giving us before you go?
We'll be seeing it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. I will leave my phone in the car. Please. Thank you very much.
Please. For coming. No, but then nobody takes better pictures than you.
You see, you must also choose. Either my phone's there.
I know, I choose the phone. Okay. Bring the phone.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Good luck with your step-parenting. You're not going to succeed like me, but...
Cheers. Hopefully I have a penny. And hopefully I'm a reading. Child
does, yeah.
I mean, the child is five. So it's... Thank you very much for joining us.
My daddy.
We're going to have the rest
daddy,
of the conversation off air.
Yeah, yeah.
He's French, so he doesn't say my daddy.
Okay, I just pretend you can't hear what I say. Bye.
3 Convos and Cocktails, produced by Lesego Tlhabi and WMG, and recorded at Vodcast TV Studios. Remember, this podcast is streamable on Spotify and other major streaming platforms.